So look, if you want to grow your wealth, your income, and increase the amount of time off, then these are the shortcuts that can help. Welcome to the Wealth Creation Podcast.
And good morning, everybody. Hope you're well. It's Dan. It's Wednesday, the 10th of February. Hope you're well. Hope you're safe. Hope you're nice and warm. You're not too snowed in. In today's session, I want to talk about what's better, capital growth or monthly cash flow. Now, just so you know, I'm a cash flow investor. First and foremost, my job is to generate cash flow every single month. And I've been like that for 22 years, basically, since I started investing in property. So for me, the answer is cash flow, but it might not be for you. So let's just talk about the differences between the two, and then we'll go into why I've chosen one over the other, and then we'll also give a couple of different examples. So, for example, in London, as we know, London just keeps going up and up and up, doesn't it? Until it doesn't, until the prices will go down and down and down, until that stops, and then it goes up and up and up. And for me, I don't like that. You know, it's too up and down. And this is the other problem with capital growth. Let's say you've got a property in London, it goes from 200,000 to 400,000. Wonderful. You've got a studio flat, because that's all you can afford at 200 grand. It's now worth 400 grand. Wonderful. How do you get your money? That's the question. How do you get your money back out? Well, you can't. There's only a couple of ways of doing it. Number one is that you sell the asset. Okay, and when you sell the asset, that 400 grand value is not going to increase anymore because it's no longer yours. I mean, it might go up, but you don't own it anymore. So you can't realize the income from it. So that's a problem. Okay, the other thing that you could do is you could refinance it. And if you refinance it and you got a £150,000 loan, you could get a £300,000 loan. Great, you've now pulled out 150 grand, but the extra £150,000 you cannot offset anymore against your rental income, against your profits for tax purposes. And so it just doesn't make sense. If anything, it actually makes sense to start paying these loans and mortgages down effectively. And so that's the problem for me. It's like the golden goose, you know, and you kill the goose to see what's inside, or you kill the goose, you know, the goose gives you 10 grand a month, but you sell the goose for 100 grand. Well, you've only got 10 months worth of income left, you know. So it doesn't work for me. So obviously London, it can go up and up and up until it doesn't. Then it goes down and down and down until it doesn't. And I don't know where the hell it's going to be. And I don't live in London, so I don't know the markets overly well. But it's too much of a risk. And for me, it's like gambling. Let's just put 50 grand on red at the casino and let's just see what happens. 50-50, hope for the best. At some point, you're going to get caught out. And this is one of the things in investing. Timing the market is a worse way of investing than time in the market. So if you buy in London today and you get that 200 grand property, and in 20 years time it goes up to 400 grand, wonderful, okay? You know, you've been in the market long enough. But if you're trying to time it now where it's 200 grand today and then, oh, it goes up to 400 grand tomorrow, well, maybe it'll go up to 800 grand next month, I'll wait, and then it drops down to 150 grand, like, it's just too much for me. It's just gambling, and it's just, that's not investing, right? That's either trading or it's gambling, or call it whatever you want. It's not even gambling, by the way, because those realized capital income is taxable. Gambling is not taxable. Well, it is. It depends where you pay the tax. I used to work for William Hill a long time ago. So you pay the tax up front or you pay the tax on your winnings. So it just depends, right? But for me, capital growth, it's just too much of a risk. I don't want that headache. I want to know pretty much every month how much money is coming in, what's on the spreadsheet. You know, in 10 years' time from now, I can tell you more or less, apart from inflation and rents increasing over time, I can tell you at least what the income's going to be from that. Unless interest rates rise hugely. You know, there's obviously some variables in everything, and you need a crystal ball to be able to go, well, what are interest rates going to be? And this is one of the problems, by the way, right now, is that people are buying properties at low, low interest rates, thinking that that is the way that life is going to be for the rest of their lives. And it's not accurate. And people have been investing for the last, 8 years, 10 years, in fact, when interest went rock bottom. How long has that been? It's been about 10 years. People have been in the property game for about 10 years, have no bloody clue. So these gurus who drive around in their white Range Rovers fucking dickheads who sell training courses about how easy it is, and you don't know who I'm referring to. he who shall not be named. There's a couple of them. Others wear stripy shirts. But they've got no clue. Although he's been in the game longer. But they've got no clue because we've had historically low interest rates for the last 10 years and thinking that this is normality. This is far from normal. Wait till interest rates go back to 5 and 6%. You know that old saying of wait until the tide goes out, then you know who's not wearing any swimming shorts is when the tide goes out. And the tide's going to go out at some point, by the way, folks, when interest rates rise. And so you need to be stress testing your portfolio right now. But let's talk about the cash flow angle. Now, I like cash flow. I love cash flow because cash flow enables me to forecast what's going to happen 5 months from now. So, for example, if I look at my spreadsheet, you know, we're going to Disneyland, allegedly, in July, I think it is, Disneyland Paris. Now, we might not get there because of COVID, and that's okay. But that holiday is costing maybe about £2,000, okay? So for the last 10 months, oh, and we're still doing it, by the way, we're saving £200. It's actually 180 quid. We put £180 into a savings account, and that's our holiday paid for. So by the time we get there, it's paid for. We don't have to put it on a credit card. We don't have to do any of that. It's all paid for. We just pay the outstanding balance and we're there, right? And then we've also got some spending money, so we don't have to worry about how much money we can spend and whether we want to buy the Disney princess dress for the little one or whatever, right? We don't have to worry about that. And the reason why we can do that is that I can forecast what is likely to be our monthly income on a regular basis as we look forward to the next 12 months. Now, I love that as a concept, and you should fall in love with that as well, by the way. If you're spending money on credit cards, oh, I'll just put it on a card. You know, I'm just reading a thread about someone, do I get a credit card, you know, to pay the rent on? And I'm like, that's crazy. What are you doing that for? Credit cards are 20% a year. You make a mistake on that, it screws you for the next 7 to 10 years, and you're desperately trying to pay it off. You know, I'm not saying don't get a credit card, because it, in terms of credit card building, you should be using that. But you've got to be really on it with a spreadsheet. Now, cash flow forecasting, or rather cash flow investing, is the term that will allow you to know how much money you're making. So, for example, I would much rather have a property that earns £200 a month, okay, rather than a property that, whilst might be worth more in the long run, I have to put money into right now in order to pay the mortgage and pay the costs of actually, you know, managing that tenancy. I want to be, you know, 200 quid a month times 20, there's £4,000, great. You know, then you take your £4,000 and then you save some of that and you spend some of that on lifestyle and then you keep saving up for the next deposit. I like that. Now, I'm not saying that you shouldn't be investing for capital growth, but what I'm saying is that you need to work out what's working for you or what will work for you in the future. For me, I always knew, bear in mind, I've been in this for 22 years, I always knew that cash flow investing is the thing that will provide stability in my life. It's the thing that when I choose to leave the United Kingdom, which we did 7 years ago, that money will still come in whether I'm there or not. You know, I woke up this morning, rents have come into the bank account. I've not had to do anything with that. And I generally don't work a lot on my portfolio. I have other people that actually do the work. We've got viewings today, for example, on another property. We've got some furniture being moved on another property because the furniture's being replaced as we're going around and updating some of the furniture on some of these properties. I don't have to do any of that. It's not me physically doing the work. I just pay people and they go and do it. But I can do that because I know how much money's coming in and I've got a fund allocated every single month to repairs, furniture. And if we don't spend that fund, that gets rolled over into the next month and the next month and the next month. And eventually it starts to build up and we go, okay, let's just put new carpets in. Bang, 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 bang. Let's put new front doors in. Let's upgrade the electrics. Let's put fancy lighting in. And then the rents go up. And so because we have a cash flow forecast, it allows me to see what's going to happen in the future. And when I say it allows me to see what's going to happen, it gives me a probability that this is what's going to happen in the future. Nothing is set in this world. And, you know, as we know, nothing is set. But that's what investing as a cash flow investor will do, is it will give you stability. I don't want to wake up this morning and wonder where my next dollar is going to come from. Not that we use dollars. But I don't want to know where that's coming from. I want to know, where does the money come from? Where is it going? How much have I got left over? What's going on expenditure? And just this morning, I was in the shower and I was remembering about some clients that we had, and they were you know, they're putting £100 into all sorts of various digital coins like Bitcoin and XRP and Dogecoin and so on. And I was thinking about those, you know, that was maybe 3 or 4 years ago now, and those guys are probably doing really well. It's still gambling, by the way. But I don't want to be worrying about where the next money is coming from on a month-by-month basis. I want to know that, you know, if everything goes to plan, and not everything always goes to plan, but if everything goes to plan, this is how much money you're going to have. And if things don't go to plan, this is how many people you can cope with not paying their rent before you're going to run into problems. My spreadsheet tells me all of that. It allows me to sleep better at night. You know, we've got, right now, I think we've got about £3 million worth of debt. We call that good debt because the debt is enabling us to generate monthly cash flow. And people ask me, on £3 million worth of debt, how do you sleep at night? Pretty well, to be honest with you. There's that old saying, if you owe the bank £20,000, you've got a problem. If you owe the bank 3 million quid, they've got a problem. And I kind of like that saying. So we sleep really well because the cash flow comes in. That's not to say that we're not paying those properties down, because we absolutely are. And that's something that we want to do, even though property prices will be going up over the long term and rents will be going up over the long term. Over COVID's had a bump in the road on that, and rents have definitely dropped. But let me give you an example that I read. It was in a Property Investor magazine going back about 10 years ago now. And I was reading this and I'm like, this just doesn't even make sense. Why would a person do this? So let me tell you what they did, and then I'll tell you why. So they bought a property, and it was like £125,000, and it was a doer-upper, which is fine, not a problem. So they spent about, £25,000 doing that property up, okay? And the rental on that property at the time was about £650. And it confused me, because at the time, it didn't wash its face. So they had, you know, 25% down as a deposit. So you're talking about 32,000 plus the £20,000 to actually do 25 grand to do the property up, plus closing costs. You're talking what, 47, talking about 50 grand down for a property that's going to generate 650 a month that doesn't wash its face because the mortgage is too high still. You know, it's what's 100 grand mortgage at whatever the interest rate was back then, 5%, 6%, just didn't wash its face. So they had to put more money into that property. And then they used that immortal line. Yeah, but in 10 years' time, when we've paid down the debt a little bit because it was a repayment mortgage, then it'll wash its face. And I'm like, what are you doing? That's just crazy. Why would you buy a property? Who's taught you how to do that? This is one of the reasons why you need education, by the way, is because they thought they were doing the right thing. And even the magazine thought they were doing the right thing. And I'm laid back going, you know, like, we question ourselves sometimes, don't we? I question myself even today. Am I doing the right thing? Who the hell are you? What makes you think you know it better than somebody else? I ask myself those questions on a daily basis as well. It's like, you know, the mask might slip. You know, that mask of where you feel like you're always worried that the mask will slip and people might find out who you really are. Imposter syndrome, that's the word. That's the word. We've even got a podcast about imposter syndrome. Quite an interesting topic, actually. But, like, you're worried because you read this in a magazine. You go, well, these people must know what they're doing. And the people who publish the magazine, they must know what they're doing. I think that's a really stupid idea. So what makes me so special that everybody else has got it wrong and I've got it right? And here we are, you know, 12 years after that event, and we got it right and they got it wrong. There you go. And, you know, it's a good lesson to have confidence in your own ability. If you do the work, you make your own decisions and you go down the path that you think is right. It might be capital growth for you, depending on your circumstances and your location and your access to funds and your access to people who've got other funds and your access to deals. It could be that capital growth is the way forward for you. But you've got to realize that, you know, between now and the next 20 years' time, where's the income going to come from for you to pay for your lifestyle? I'll give you an example. We had a client, and they had a property, and if they sold the property, I think we were going to make about £400,000. It was a prime personal residence, PPR, so the property was tax-free, right? So we're going to get 400 grand completely tax-free, and their dream, and they're in the 50s, their dream was to work around the planet, just, you know, work wherever, not have to worry about money, go to Thailand, go to Bali, all these beautiful places, okay? Now, I know, like, Bali and Thailand, we've been there, beautiful places. It doesn't cost a huge amount of money every month to live, like, £1,000 a month, £1,200, £1,500 quid a month, perfect, right? But she could have taken that £400,000 and, you know, she could have put down 50 grand deposits on 8 different properties that would all pay about £300-400 a month. 8, 16, 24. So it's £3,000 a month coming in, which would have covered all her costs. She could have rented in different places on the planet. It's not a huge amount, but it's completely mortgage free. And all that income would have been her income minus the tax. And so she could have done that. And she didn't. She held on. And, you know, here we are, you know, 5 years later, and she still owns that property. I'm still wondering whether she should go around the world or not. And I think it's a shame, really, because people have been brought up through the education system or through newspapers or through magazines. Capital growth is a way forward. And it's wrong. I think it's wrong. I remember one letting agency, a big one in Leeds, and he wrote an article in the Yorkshire Post, and he was talking about this very subject, and he was going, no, capital growth for sure, capital growth. I'm like, you're an idiot. You're just an idiot, mate. You know, it's like capital growth might be great in London, where you're getting massive capital growth. In Leeds city centre, capital growth over the last 20 years, it's not been brilliant. You know, I mean, we've had it. I was buying studios at 67 grand and they're now worth maybe 90. Whoopie-doo, 30% in 15 years. Wow, that's amazing. Conversely, the two-bed back-to-backs that we were buying for 37, they're going for about 75, so that's doubled. But again, that's over a 20-year period, not a 10-year period. You know, you hear this, prices double over 10 years. You go back and you show me where property prices have doubled every 10 years. And you'll struggle to find that information because it doesn't work like that. That's not the way it goes. It's the common story that people talk about, and it's complete and utter bullshit, quite frankly. It just didn't happen. But this is what people, you know, people selling training courses, that's what we used to say. Property prices double every 10 years, if only. I mean, think about that. Properties would be worth trillions of pounds right now if they doubled every 10 years for the last 200 years. Ridiculous. So, yeah, it's a piece of paper. If you fold it 9 times, you get to the moon, I think. Is that right? You can't, not that you can fold a piece of paper over 9 times. So, you know, because of compounding, that kind of thing. So, for me, you've got to go back to cash flow. I like the idea of, you know, like today, for example, assume we didn't have COVID. Today, let's just assume we want to go live in America. Let's just assume that for 1 second. We don't, but let's assume we did. We could pick up from here. We still have our income, and we could go do that. Now, if it was capital growth, I couldn't do that. I would have to have a fixed place for my job because where's the money coming from? Now, I think there is a better solution than this, however, and I think the better solution is a mixture of both, but there is an order and sequence in which you need to do this. And the order and sequence in which you need to do this is, number one, you've got to get, and I'm going to go through both arguments here. Number one, you've got to get your basic costs covered, because when you have your basic costs covered, then you can give up work, then your time is your own, then you can do whatever you want to do. And if you want to flip houses, that's wonderful. If you want to buy for capital growth, that's wonderful. Now, there's a counter argument to this, which is, actually, if you did it the other way around and you bought a house and in a location that's got great capital growth, and we'll say London, right? But again, for me, London goes up and down. I haven't got a bloody clue what's going on there. But you could do that for capital growth. And then when it goes up, you sell it, pull all that money back out, and then you're buying your cash flowing properties. So it's up to you as to how you want to do it. But I personally think that the best solution, and by the way, when I first started out in property, I was buying houses, I was doing houses up, and I was either selling them or refinancing them. And I'll tell you, the mistake that I made was selling them. And we bought and sold a lot of properties. We refurbed over 22 years. I want to say 100 properties, but it's probably not that many. It felt like it. Right? Maybe 70, or 50. I don't know what it was. It was a lot. Okay. It feels like 100. It feels like more than 100. But we did that, and the money that we got, we either refinanced or we sold, and then we bought that more properties from that money. But I really regret selling those properties right now. We should have refinanced, pulled the money back out, and then paid the money back down over a period of time using the properties that we bought from the refinancing. But I think a better solution is this. I like the idea of getting out of work. I've always hated work. I've always hated bosses, always hated working for someone else. And for me, it was getting out of a job where I had to go into work, you know, now I wake up naturally, which is basically these days my six-year-old running in and waking me up. I wake up naturally. I don't have an alarm clock. I wake up when the sun shines or when the dogs wake us up. It's a natural way of waking up, and I don't have to get to a particular place for a particular time, and I love living like that. So for me, that's always number one, is to escape the rat race, have enough income coming in so I can leave work, and that was really my focus. And then when I did that, we then started buying and selling houses, and that money from the sales then increased the portfolio and allowed me to continue to invest and pay, you know, pay down debt. We had a lot of bad debt. We had a lot of credit card debts all paid off, and we had mortgages, which we still have, but we're, you know, paying those down right now. But then the next bit is not capital growth. The next bit is actually buying pieces of junk and doing them up. And actually, we've not done that for the last, I'd say, 10 years. We've not bought and sold properties to do them up and sell them. And actually, in 2021, we're probably going to start up doing that again. We've got a great building team available. Heck, we own two construction companies anyway. So we know that the build's going to be great. We know that we're getting it at cost. We know, you know, that the quality of work will be good, and the cost of materials will be cheaper, and so on and so forth. Okay, so we've maneuvered ourselves into these wonderful position, but we've only been able to do that because of the cash flow that comes through every single month, and the deposit on the next property comes from the cash flow. The money to do the property up, that comes from the cash flow as well. And the only reason we can do any of this is because of the cash flow. What do you guys think? What have you done? You know, it's quite an interesting topic, because I know people will go one way or they'll go the other. Some people are just pure capital growthers. And as I say, I kind of disagree with that, because it doesn't give you freedom. And if you, by the way, if you're flipping properties for a living and you're flipping three or four properties a year, is that financial freedom, or is that just another job with flexible, we call it flexible hours? You know that old story about being self-employed? Well, I'm self-employed. I can work whenever I want. Yeah, all the bloody time, right? That's not how I wanted to live my life. And that's definitely not how I do live my life. A cleaner's coming at 10 o'clock. I'm off shopping because that's the last thing that I want to hang around here for. But, you know, also the other last thing I want is to have to go to work to a job 9 to 5, Monday to Friday. It's just not for me. And so that was my motivation for getting into cash flow. And now, as well as buying businesses, we're now looking at buying the next properties to do. We've got business partners involved, and we've got property in London that we're looking at, some of the stuff below market value that we're investigating right now. And then we've got the builders to go in and do it up. But that's a perfect situation. We've got out of the rat race. We've now got cash flow. And the next bit is, especially in London, where you can buy a property for 250, spend 50 or 70 on it, and it's now worth 450. And you can make a lot of money doing it that way. And so that's where we're up to right now, now start to accelerate some of these results. And I think this is really important. I'm just like you. I might be a bit further ahead, and obviously some people are ahead of me, but I might be a bit further ahead on some of the stuff that we do. But I'm just like you. I want to put money into an asset. I want to generate more cash out of that asset, and I'm either going to liquidate the asset if we're flipping properties, you know, we're buying, we're doing up, and then we're selling, or I'm going to refinance and pull some of the money back out. Or actually, we're not going to refinance at all, because we want to pay, begin to pay down the mortgages over a period of time. I'm just like you, and we do exactly the same thing. I like property. I still like property, despite being in it for 22 years. And I've got that saying, which I don't know if you've heard. If you're still excited by property, it's because you've not got enough yet. And I love that saying, because, I mean, we've just had some real issues with tenants, with COVID, not being able to pay, and some of them are honestly can't pay, and we work with them, and then others are just taking the proverbials effectively, and we've given them CCJs. We've seen the money go into their bank account because they've shown us, and they've decided not to pay rent, and so on. And you know, after 22 years, I still love property. I don't love tenants, but we still love property. And as we continue to move forward, we will be buying more properties. We don't need cash flowing properties anymore because that's covered. We'll be buying properties to flip or for capital appreciation. So I hope that's useful. Bit of a nutshell. Did all that in 25 minutes. Pretty cool. And we'll catch up with you. We're live again on Friday. We're on a Mindset and Hustle show. Come and join us for that. And we'll speak to you then. If you've got any questions in the meantime, drop them in the box down below. We'll see them and then we'll answer. We might even cover them on the next session. All right, I hope you guys have yourselves a great day, and we'll speak to you soon. My name's Dan Latta. Take care.
Hey, it's Dan here. Thank you for listening. Really appreciate each and every one of you. Please click like or subscribe to the entire podcast.